Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today, well, Dave Allen, he's not here today. So we have Pastor Butch Paul is filling in for Dave today. And I guess Dave, his daughter, is expecting. She really isn't due for another month, but they thought the baby might be a little early. And they are sending her home, but he was busy taking care of his baby. So that is a good thing. And so we have Pastor Butch. He was happy to fill in, so we do appreciate that on this Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. So you will hear our opinion and commentary for the economic and political news and events of the day. We also have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program. But first, I'm going to say good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I know you're doing fine today, and me too. And it's good to see the sunshine.
Well, we had a little. We were a little cloudy today, so send that sunshine to the eastern shore. But Gold had a sunshiny day today. We're up another $11 today in the New York spot price aftermarket, 1,613. Silver's
right.
Up big again today, a little over 1.5%, $18.44. Platinum was up $18 at 1,013. And palladium, she just continues to roar like crazy, up 104 at 2770. What's interesting about the palladium market, there's a lot of volatility on the bid side. I mean, jumps anywhere from almost $200 to 10. So it's crazy, and that usually is, you know, usually a sign. I mean, there's a lot of action going on, a lot of paper trading going on in that market. And so it's, I think that's a sign of a little more volatility coming in that market. So, not sure, but it was a strange day in trading on the bid side prices for palladium. You have the USDX today is up again, 0.15 at 99.60. And again, a great day for gold, having that dollar in the basket continue to rise. Crude oil was up 1.23 at 53.28. And I think one report that came out that sort of will give us a better indication in the second was the, which report was it that came out? I think it was the PPI, not the CPI, but the PPI. Which would be inflationary. So we'll talk about that in the second portion of the program today. So a good day in that. And gold, the Dow was up 115 points, 29,347. The NASDAQ was up 84, 9,817. S&P was up 15, 3,386. The 10-year yield, 1.57%. Euro is holding at 108. London was up a little over 1%. And that is it for the... I mean, there's a lot more news we'll talk about in the second and third segment of the program today, as we always keep the first segment on Wednesday's program for Wendy Wilson. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And I hear Butch Paws with us.
Yes, he is.
Hey, I'm
Pastor
right
Butch,
here.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Wendy, how are you?
I'm hanging in there like every American here. we're going to talk about pandemics a little bit and answer the question a little bit. How fast does disease spread? Okay? Cuz that's a really good question, and really does science have that answer? Now, since you can't really see the microscopic infectious diseases, how do we know, actually, how the rate of transmissibility is going? Well, science measures transmissibility in an equation. They like to quantify the input, output, the maximum amplification, and intensity of the disease. They refer to it as a Q factor. So when health authorities like the CDC are announcing a pandemic, how do they quantify the risk, how fast it's going to spread, how long the disease is going to be active and with us? So gauging contagious infections is a combination of science, math, and a little bit of gut instinct. So when they do the number spread, according to Healthline.com, understanding the possibilities of how a disease will travel and infect living things is really a production number. They call it the RO. It's pronounced R-naught factor. It's a mathematical term indicating how contagious an infectious disease is and its replication ability. So for infection to spread to a healthy person, it has to be able to replicate itself. So what science is communicating with RO numbers is that it represents the average number of healthy people that are going to catch the disease from a contagious person. So RO is a representation of a population that was previously healthy prior to the infection, and they have not been vaccinated against the disease. An example would be an RO of 18, which indicates an infected person will spread that disease and infect an average of 18 other people, unless a person has natural immunity to that particular infection. So your RO factor only applies when no one in the population has immunity, everyone is equally vulnerable, and containment of the disease is impossible. Think about those things. So we're told the RO factor is rare due to many advancements in our modern medicine. So the Spanish flu, for instance, that would have an RO factor, we're told, of 1.4 to 2.8. Does that give you an idea? Yeah? As into how infectious a disease can be?
Yes.
Well, calculating the RO, so there are certain factors scientists look at to take into account when they calculate this RO factor on a disease. They look how long the disease will last in adults and children, because the longer the infection lasts, it increases the RO value. They look at the contact rate or rate of spreading, so high contact rate increases that value. Also, how the disease is transmitted. Does the disease travel by air, like the flu, or does it require body fluids? Airborne diseases always have a higher RO value. Also, conditions for the disease, like I said, some diseases thrive in cooler temperatures, and as it warms up, they tend to die off. So RO is a designated symbol on how virulent the disease is and how it helps them predict outcomes. So get this. I thought this was interesting. The creator of the RO factor was Alfred Lucca. He was a demographer of populations and reproduction numbers in the 1920s. Then in the 1950s, Dr. George MacDonald, who was an epidemiologist, suggested using Lakota's assessments in order to describe potential disease transmission. So it was Dr. MacDonald who suggested the RO factor. If it's greater than one, the disease will spread. So if it's below a one, they don't call it pandemic, and they don't look at it as a very virulent high threat. Now, experts are underestimating, we're told, the RO factor of the coronavirus. Scientists at Umeå University in Sweden, February 2020, reported the WHO is underestimating the rate at which the coronavirus will spread. Professor Brocklau, Sustainable Health at the university, says, our review shows the coronavirus is at least as transmissible as the SARS virus, and this should tell people about the seriousness of the situation. Now, for the listeners who are on the newsletters list of American Survival, when your next issue comes to you, there's going to be a chart of various diseases and then also their RO production numbers. So that'll give you a comparison when you're listening to the news or getting updates on the coronavirus. Now, the WHO released transmissibility and reproducing factors on the Conora of 1.4 to 2.5. So these numbers are estimate how many people are going to get infected. Higher numbers represent higher risk of transferring the virus from person to person, so with more rapid spread as well. So if the production numbers fall below one, it's no longer an epidemic, most likely dying off. Researchers at Umeå University in Heidelberg, Germany, and Hangzhou, China, all reviewed 12 scientific studies on coronavirus number 19, and all with consistent estimates for the growth potential and rate of transmission, and they're also their math formulas. Their work was published also in this month's Journal of Travel Medicine. So they're saying, they're indicating the transmissibility has rose rapidly on Conora. In recent studies, the average was 3.28 people were infected. And you know, percentages matter when you're attributing it to large populations. Now, in Heidelberg, Germany, they were saying when you look at the development of the Cornora pandemic, it really corresponds well or even exceeds the highest epidemic growth of our calculated model. It's spreading more, they said, than the SARS virus. Now, on your chart, SARS virus has an RO factor of 1 to 2.75. Now, get this, measles has a RO factor of 12 to 18. That's huge. So measles is very highly contagious, but it's not a serious threat. Measles in a healthy person, it's not a serious threat. But the coronavirus is somewhat of a different animal. Now, in the UK, physicians really don't know how dangerous this virus is until they get more data and they start to compare it to mortality rates. They estimate now the virus offers a 2% mortality rate, as some cases have been mild. Okay, and you can get the idea of a picture of comparing the coronavirus and its mortality rate to, let's say, your influenza. That has a rate of 1%. So Conora has a 2% rate. Now your SARS virus has a 10% mortality rate. So it's a bit more virulent. The Imperial College group has also given the coronavirus an RO factor of as high as 3.5. University of China at the Academy of Science, their factor is over 4.08. And until the virus dies out, these equation estimates are going to fluctuate a bit. So now, you want to know how the coronavirus stacks up to Ebola in the RO factor? Ebola has a 1.5 to 2.5 RO factor, whereas the coronavirus has a 1.4 to 4.0, but it's creeping up. Here's a quote from Jason Burnham, medical doctor of infectious disease. He's a specialist at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. He says, transparency is not as simple as it may seem. It is a question of preventing undue panic while trying to protect the public. So we run the risk of pulling the trigger too soon and scaring the public over a handful of cases. Or a public notice can be counterproductive, where people are too scared to get treatment when they do fall ill. I personally feel the public has a right to know about the outbreak to make their own decisions. So your RO factor, in other words, they may be holding it back because they don't want to panic people. You know, it's just hard to say. It really is hard to say. So you don't want to assume, though, that our government's taking care of business. Do you think they are, Melanie? Pastor Bush? Do you think they're taking care of
business? Does that answer your question?
Okay.
Well, they don't hate it, why would they?
Right. So,
from your knowledge, yeah. Wendy, from your knowledge and input, how serious do you think this is as far as a threat to our country?
I think it is because it's a man-made virus, it's a mutated virus, and people don't have any natural antibodies to it. So in that effect, it makes it very serious. But then again, you know, we're hoping by the time it kind of pops up on our shores, the weather's warming up to, you know, make it not so spreadable, if you know what I mean. But you're right. We shouldn't think that our health authorities are prepared, because the coronavirus in China, just look what's going on there. I mean, people are being thrown in container cars without water or bathroom until they're died and they're cremated. So I don't call that prepared. According to the Inspector General, the Department of Homeland Security has stockpiled 16 million surgical masks, 5,000 bottles of expired hand sanitizer, expired antiviral drugs. 81% are expired. They have the 2015 date on them. Their protective equipment that they have on file, they don't know where they stored it. So if you don't know where you stored your stuff, it doesn't exist. You don't have access to it. How are you going to get your hands on it? So the U.S. is not prepared. So if a government is not prepared, the only thing left is crisis and damage control. So what's China going through, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think we as individuals, we need to start planning and thinking like warriors, and no one really wants to think that way because you're on defense. but you need to stand up and protect yourself. So the illusion of preparedness is worse than neglect. It's really pathological, seriously. So I want you to read. I want to read you this post that's on the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services National Institute of Health website. It says this: the emergence of yet another outbreak of human disease caused by a pathogen from a virus family formerly thought to be relatively benign underscores the perpetual challenge of emerging infectious diseases and the importance of sustained preparedness. But where is the preparedness? So they got it on paper. It's policy. It's their motto. It's their mantra. But where is the factual preparedness? I mean, you can't deal with a virus with expired meds. Drugs that are expired are more dangerous than when they were first made, because when drugs expire, they start to break down and decompose chemically, making them more toxic. So never take an expired medicine at all. Okay.
You know, and I can remember my parents, my aunts from the older generations. I mean, they keep meds in their closets, in their cabinet, their medicine cabinets, you know, for years and years and years. If they need it, they take it. And, you know.
Usually prescription drugs.
But let me ask you a question, though. Are the meds from, you know,
China
30, 40 years ago different than what they are today?
Probably. They were not made in China.
Well, you know, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, most of our meds are coming from there, and because they're generic. Most people go for the generic. They're cheaper, and the drug companies in the U.S. are not making them anymore once their patent expires. So usually it's cheaper pharmaceutical companies that are normally not under stringent control or inspection of the FDA pick those up and start making them and then sell them back to us. Basically, your typical antiviral, antibacterial drug has a shelf life of about 2 years. That's it. So take that expiration date pretty seriously. If you have drugs in your cabinet, chuck them. Don't let kids or pets get into them. They're very toxic, especially after they expire. So to answer your question, Pastor Butch, I'm counting on the Lord's antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. You know, a lot of these herbs have germicides and viral inhibitors in them. Medicine doesn't tell you about that. For instance, gentian root has a natural inhibitor to Ebola or any hemorrhagic fever type of virus. So, you know, God didn't leave us defenseless. We have tools. We have immune support. Echinacea is one of my favorite garlics, very broad spectrum. At least I'd stock some of that. Thepowerherbs.com has a full line. Of course, you can get a free catalog at 866-229-3663. And we do have coupons up on the website and in the catalog.
All right, Wendy, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. And everyone, we'll be back in just a few short minutes right after these brief commercials.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to this program live just by going to the website, dgscoins.com, going to the radio page, clicking on the bar at the top. And you can also listen to the archives, and we are live Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And great segment with Wendy. You wanted to follow up. I know you wanted to talk, Butch, about, before I hit some topics about the PPI and so forth, you wanted to talk about the China.
I did. I'll make two comments for that, though, very quickly. First one is, gold, as you said, hit 1613 today. Now, it'll fluctuate back down under 1600. It'll keep on going up like it has been. Melody, in the last 3 months, gold's been up from 1450 to 1613.
Yeah.
That's, if I remember the dates right, and they can buy so fast. But it's 1450, 1470, struggling to get about 1500. You remember that, don't you? I'm sure.
Of course.
And now it's 1613 and going up. The longer folks wait to purchase gold, the more they're going to pay to get it. And silver, my goodness, silver is taking off. I mean, it took forever to get over 17. It took forever to get up to 18. Now it's 18, you said, 1840, I believe it was. Silver is going up. This is going to continue, folks. It's going to continue. It may not jump $200 a bunch at a time, but it's going up. For goodness sake, now's the time to buy it. It truly is. If you don't call Melody and at least ask her what you can do, then I don't know what you're thinking. I really don't. Besides that, this lady is hardly ever wrong. I have to say that. She's pretty much on top of things when it comes to politics and finances. I mentioned today that some people are saying Hillary's going to run as Bloomberg's running mate. Well, Hillary just told flat out she's not going to run as Bloomberg's running mate. She made remarks about this when she was a question by a report from Matt Drudge that Bloomberg was considering her as a president on the presidential ticket. She said, I'm not going to run. But she also said, so you were right, Melody. I mean, duh, you were right. Okay.
But what do you mean by duh?
I mean, duh. I should already know in that, for goodness sake. I mean, duh. I mean, anyways, water wet, duh. But but she also said that she thought Puerto Rican American citizens should be able to vote. I don't get the statement there. Puerto Rican American citizens. If the American citizens and in Puerto Rico, that's a territory. It's not a state, right?
Not a state, no.
So they're not really American citizens. They're under protection. But they're not really American citizens. Like when they had territories in out west, you know, they weren't states. So I don't know how that works. I don't understand that. Maybe she has a point there I don't see. But back to the China situation. Two or three things here I think are important. Excuse me. As China grinds to a halt, firms can no longer afford to pay workers. Now this is actually happening, folks, right now in China, according to the news. While every passing day that its economic disintegration is not reversed, China inches closer to what may be a very violent tipping point, one which sets billions of angry, starving, broke, and quarantined citizens against the Communist Party oligarchy. As China's economic output remains literally frozen, new reports suggest that many Chinese companies, which never factor for this type of calamity, don't have enough capital to cover wages or have delayed or stopped paying workers, suggesting that the COVID-19 outbreak has left businesses on the brink of disaster. While Beijing has been scrambling to give the impression that the economy is back up and running, miraculously without any electricity or pollution, China's lack of workers, most of whom are holed up in their houses until the pandemic passes, has made factory restarts impossible. Worse, workers can't freely move around the country, and many are subjected to travel restrictions and quarantines, and Shanghai's American Chamber of Commerce said Shanghai's American Chamber of Commerce on Monday. The second problem, now outlined by Bloomberg, is that companies which do start production don't have enough money to cover labor expenses. To wit, across China, companies are telling workers that there's no money for them, or they shouldn't have to pay full salaries to quarantine employees who don't come to work. That's one situation, and I that's a big situation, Melody. If workers, and there's millions of them in quarantine, if they can't work, or if they can go to work and company can't pay them, that's not a good thing, is it?
Well, no, it isn't. And, so their factories aren't going to be working, and there still could be a supply, a huge supply interruption across the world. And we talk about how contagious this disease is and so forth. I think we need to talk about how contagious is the economic fallout from this in China for around the world. To me, that has a major impact. And certainly, yes, we do have to be concerned about this and the virus and everything. But it's the economic disease that's going to, we're not quite sure how that's going to all fall out. They have some, and at the same time, the rest of the world is slowing down also.
Yes, it is.
Our economy is slowing down.
Yes.
Pardon?
I said we're going to cover some of that just in a second here, too, because that's important, very important. Very important. But, most workers in China, I don't know if they have any backup, like low wage earnings or whatever. I don't know if they have that or not. I don't know. But I know people live in this country here, if they missed couple of weeks, they miss one paycheck, they're hurting. They miss two, they're devastated. Now, that's just the way of life even here in America. That's the way it is. But apparently, China deploys 40 incinerators to Wuhan among fear of the coronavirus death toll. They're trying to deny this has for animals, but these are actually are for medical waste. I guess a dead body is considered medical waste. I don't know. But that again, 40 incinerators to the town of Wuhan, where it started. And by the way, another interesting fact about this virus, we all know about the five cell phone factor, where we have four and five and different
5G?
Powers.
You're talking about 5G?
Yeah, 5G, right, 5G. 5G was rolled out in Wuhan a couple months before this virus came up. They're saying that 5G can even make these symptoms. Feel like symptoms. 5G can do that. They can make you sick. And that's not just made up. That's science. 5G can disrupt your body, and that's very serious. But back to the financial part, supply chain chaos unfolds as major Chinese ports as frozen meat containers pile up. New evidence from Bloomberg reveals cracking global supply chains are fast emerging as major Chinese ports with thousands of containers of frozen meat piling up with nowhere to go. The COVID-19 outbreak remained a dominant issue for 1Q as supply chain shocks are being felt by multinationals on either side of the hemisphere. Sources told Bloomberg that containers of frozen pork, chicken, and beef, mostly from South America, Europe, and the U.S., are piling up at Tianjin, Shanghai, and Ningbo ports because of the lack of truck drivers, and many transportation networks remain closed. Seaports in China are quickly running out of room to house the containers and cannot provide enough electricity points to keep existing containers cold. This has forced many vessels to be rerouted to other destinations. So that's not good. They can't get the food across the country. The truckers are shut down or they're sick or quarantined, so they can't move the food. And that's another thing that we don't think about. I mean, what is the population in China? 1 billion people, believe it is. Is that about right?
Yeah,
right,
yes,
on
it
that.
Is. Mm-hmm.
So, when you think about this, if they have millions, I've asked, I heard 57 million, I've heard 80 million, are quarantined. That's a third of or a fourth of our population. Imagine that. Gee. And do you remember the other day we mentioned that our drugs are produced, most of our drugs are produced in China. You know, our medical drugs are pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
Now listen to this headline. White House suddenly realizes America buys too many pharmaceuticals from China. They finally got it, Melody. They finally figured it out. We may be able to produce our own medicine.
It's a political election. It's an election year. They'll say anything like they didn't know.
And now all of a sudden
they're concerned when they've given all the corporate welfare and everything else, so that's where it could be made. Jeez Louise.
It said with most pharmaceuticals and vitamins either made in China. I didn't know about the vitamin part, but I guess it makes sense. Made from ingredients obtained from China. The threat of a major supply disruption is perhaps more real than ever, especially as new cases of Wuhan coronavirus began to increase exponentially outside of China's borders. This is a wake-up call for an issue that has been latent for many years, but is critical to U.S. economic and national security, Navarro told the media, warning that drugs, vitamins, and other dietary supplements and medical equipment sold here in America often come directly from China's sources. If we have learned anything from the coronavirus and swine flu, H1N1, the epidemic of 2009, is that we cannot necessarily depend on other countries. Duh, good gosh. Even close allies. And China's an ally? No. To supply us with needed items from face masks to vaccines, he said. So, I don't know. I would like to think they were smarter than this, but obviously not. When you depend on any country to feed you, Melody, it's like me depending on somebody else that I don't even know to feed me and take care of me. And if someone especially doesn't like me, why would I trust that?
You know, it's all a bunch of BS. You know, it's just, it just angers me that these people can come out and say this stuff, that now all of a sudden they're concerned. Really? Can't you remember when dog food was there was more reaction from government when there was dog food that was hurting our pets than the medication that comes from China that hurts people or could, you know, we don't know what's in it. And they have the control. I mean,
well,
it's what a crazy world.
It is what a crazy world.
Well, what can government do? Well, are they going to all of a sudden start making, you know, become pharmaceutical company? And they'll have a special division and let government make our medications? That's even scarier than China making it.
Well, it is amazing that we have become that apathetic about taking care of ourselves. I mean, we don't feed ourselves any longer. We no longer produce our medicines. Well, what does America produce for itself? We don't even produce our own clothing any longer.
Could you imagine what people would be paying for their medicines if it was made here in the States?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I just don't know. The answer is going to be tough, Melody, but when America lost its independence as a nation that fed and clothed itself and took care of itself, we become a ward of other countries, and that's not a good way to stay independent or free. I don't know how this can be handled. I'm not that intelligent on these kind of situations, but I know America at one time was the breadbasket of the whole world, and we did quite well, and it certainly has changed.
Welcome globalism.
Exactly right.
People out there talking about how great it is to be a global citizen, you can think about it and say, yeah, really.
Yeah, really. And what Trump just signed into law with the North American new trade agreement, folks, we're going to see some hurt coming out of that. Just give it time. It's not going to happen overnight. It is going to hurt us. I'm surprised that Trump was either suckered into it or just didn't really care. I don't know which. But I read some of that trade deal. It's not good for America. But you go ahead, Mel. I'll let you take over now.
because none of these trade agreements are fair trade.
No, they're not.
You know, that's how they push it through and get it signed so everybody can, you know, go on to the next election. We can't grow ourselves out of the problem. How do we bring the manufacturing back to this country? We're not. It's not going to happen. She might see a few trickles in, and everybody gets all excited about it, and then and everybody has such short memories. One day, you got two companies saying they're going to be opening up maybe some manufacturing in this country, and everybody forgets about all the ones that are closing down, and you know all the thousands that aren't coming back. If they leave China, they're going to go to South Korea, Philippines, wherever, Vietnam. Look how these countries are thriving. I mean, they're thriving. And we just keep buying the stuff. Our inflation was exported out of this country with the jobs. And so, you know, when you have government comes out and reports on the PPI, oh, we got to keep inflation at below 2%. The Labor Department said today that the PPI, the Producer Price Index for final demand, jumped 0.5% last month, the largest gain since 2018. The PPI advanced 2.1%. That's the biggest increase since May. So inflation is here, but hey, let's strip out the volatile food and energy and trade service components. We don't want to count that. Oh, heck no. It's
amazing. Just, the most essential things we need are stripped out.
Strip it out so we can so we can keep interest rates low and
keep it hid like it's disappearing.
Yep. You know, so, you know, oh my gosh, it just
I don't notice that, Melody. I haven't noticed food prices going up, Melody. I haven't noticed heating costs going up. I haven't noticed any of that. If you, I mean, it's really hard to find that. I mean, they must really think we're a bunch of dopes.
But people believe what they say.
And I know they do.
And I shared the story with my friend when we were in Colombia. They were talking, you know, the tour guy said, well, government wants us to believe that our inflation is 2%. And then he chuckled, but we know it's much higher than that. And I made a comment, and my friend said, and I says, yeah, that's kind of like the U.S. Oh, no. Our inflation is less than 2%. They believe it. They believe in this administration that the numbers
coming out. But they're not living in the real world, Melody. They're not living in the real world.
No, what difference is this administration when it comes to numbers than any of them before this?
Does she shop? Does she shop? Does she buy? Does she even pay attention when she pays the store?
She's a good shopper. But they believe in this administration.
But that doesn't change prices.
What comes out is true.
It doesn't change prices. I mean, you go to the store, I see the prices rising. I don't care who's in office. If the prices rise, the prices rise.
Prosperity. Everything's doing well. Supply and demand.
Sound like your friend has a reality problem.
And she is a good friend. But I mean, the thinking is just
warped.
But that's how many people across this country.
Yeah, we'll share some after the break too, and we'll see what's. We're going to discuss how the left is literally attacking the right, literally attacking.
Nuts. Are we the only sane ones? And our listeners, I know you listeners out there are sane. Hey, we'll be right back right after these few short advertisements.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. We were talking during the break, if I was president, do the first day.
Folks, Todd and I decided to nominate Melody for president, so y'all just want back us now, you hear?
We'd have a big old party. I would love to explore the White House and just know the history, all the history that we don't know, and that involves the... That'd be fascinating. Anyway... What were we talking about?
All kinds of things, but I did want to share this article here because I've said this many times in your program, and I'm on the program also. No matter who's elected this year, I'm having a hard time believing this year's election again, but it is. It's going to be nasty, and it's looking like, I mean, the so-called left, and I use the word left because that's what they use. I don't know how to describe it, left and right. But the side on the left are getting violent. That's not the first time. We've heard about people being shot at and everything else. You know, Republicans being shot at, and everything's happening. But these stories don't make the news too much. But it hasn't even been a week since a psycho in Jacksonville drove his van through a tent, trying his best to mow down Republican volunteers who were trying to register people to vote in the upcoming elections. But even since then, we've seen reports of a lunatic at the White House threatening staff President Trump, and another gentleman in Nashville who was celebrating his birthday with a MAGA-style hat when a random woman came up and punched him in the face. And frankly, it's a miracle we saw reports of any of these incidents, because the mainstream media wants absolutely nothing to do with them. Doesn't quite spread the narrative, you know. So we're confident they'll largely ignore this one as well. This is from Fox News. A New Hampshire man was arrested Thursday afternoon after allegedly assaulting a 15-year-old Trump supporter and two adults at a polling site during a state's first in the nation primary earlier this week. The teen's mother said in an exclusive interview with Fox News after the arrest that her son is traumatized. The Windham Police Department said Patrick Bradley, 34, of Windham, was charged with simple assault and disorderly conduct. Fox News has learned that the suspect got in the face of the teenage boy, who was wearing a red Make America Great Again hat and volunteering at the Trump tent at Windham High School, a polling location for the New Hampshire primary. Police said the incident happened Tuesday as Bradley exited a voting location inside the high school and was walking by a Trump campaign tent occupied by several supporters. As he passed by the tent, police said Bradley slapped a 15-year-old juvenile across the face and then assaulted two other adults who attempted to intercede. Bradley is also accused of throwing Trump campaign signs and attempting to knock over the campaign tent, police said. Melody, this is a decaying nation. When they resort to violence and even killing people, the driving to a tent full of people with a vehicle, that could kill them. That's a deadly weapon. And I don't see, it's not going from the right back to left yet too much. I don't see it anyway. But the left is attacking the right. So if Trump's reelected, can you imagine how the hate is going to ramp up? Can you imagine that? And I'd say he's quite probably going to be reelected. But can you imagine what the left's going to do? If the first time we had women screaming in the streets and flashing everything, seriously, and screaming and wailing and crying, what's going to happen if Trump's elected again?
You know, to me, the sad part is it's, to me, this is exactly what they want.
Of course
and
it is.
And I believe from the very top, I mean, it would be very easy to come out, excuse me, and say, look, this has got to stop. And you're right. Nobody reports on it. Fox News does. But they report on it for headlines, for ratings.
Oh, yes.
That's the facts. And, you know, they don't... To me, there's no one talking to these people. There's no one talking to this country. All the... Everything that you hear is at each other. There really are no leaders. I can't say and I know President Trump is the president of this country, but he's part of the problem too.
Of course, all of them
and
have been
his behavior, and everybody accepts his behavior. No, we should not accept his behavior. His behavior should be called out. Just because the other side are acting like idiots, that doesn't mean we get to do it too. You know, and this is, I might be wrong, Butch, but you said in the beginning of the program, I'm never wrong. But we need to call out this behavior. It's not acceptable. It's not. And we just can't accept it just because we want something else, or it's our last hope. I don't get it. It's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
That's a sign of a nation that's deteriorating. It really is. It truly is. And again, when you have states, seriously, states wanting to secede from the state into other states, that's another sign of deterioration.
Did you see that about Idaho?
Yeah.
Did you see that about Idaho?
Oregon, Idaho. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that hasn't happened since 1861. So are we going into another Civil War? It's possible, and I don't want to see that, but it won't be the same as this. The last one causes, we're spread all the country now, and people are mixed together in different with different opinions. We're not going to divide up state by state. We're going to be divided by neighbor by neighbor. It's going to be chaos. Chaos. And friends that you thought were going to stand beside you may walk away from you. So... There you go. Just my opinion on that.
Okay.
Okay. Now we'll move on. You've heard of a company called Blue Apron, right?
Yes.
Well, it's on the brink of shutting down. It closes facilities. A meal kit delivery startup, Blue Apron, was Wall Street's most promising IPO in 2017. Now it is evaluating a broad range of strategic options that could result in additional money raise, sale, or even bankruptcy. There can be no assurance that the review of strategic alternatives will result in a transaction on a timely basis or at all, or that any transaction will produce intended benefits for Blue Apron stakeholders. The sales plunged 30%, and mostly they said because of competition like HelloFresh and Amazon Fresh. So. It's really a kind of a new idea, at least in 2017, and I started a company that was doing pretty well, but competition stepped in like it always does, and nothing wrong with competition. I'm all for competition, but it's apparently going to put a hurting on Blue Apron. We'll have to see about that. That's just
I'm still a believer that if you have a good product and you price things fairly, your service and everything else, you know, competition's good.
It is good.
Competition shouldn't put you out of the business unless, you know, of course, you know, you can't, you know, Walmart, you know, if you're a little business owner in a small town and Walmart comes to town, that's, you know, it's really hard to compete, you know, but if
different
you compete with similar, yeah.
I mean, Amazon, too, huge company. Maybe well, Blue Apron has really good food. I don't know if they've ever eaten their food. This probably is good food. But if they can't manufacture as cheap as a multi-million billion-dollar company can, then I can see, you know, it's going to hurt them. They just can't produce it fast enough or cheaply enough. But moving on from that. go ahead.
Macy's stock was cut to junk by S&P Global Ratings. I mean, they're just a matter of time until they get they all go belly up, probably. But you know, we'll have to wait and see. But it just goes to show that the health of some of these retailers in this country, and what the future.
Brick and mortar stores are hurting. They are.
Yep.
And you know, and again, we talk about Illinois a lot. I got two articles about Illinois that really is, it's just sad to see, because the only thing government knows is to how to bleed a healthy body dry and try to keep itself running. Governments produce nothing. Governments produce no thing. All they can do is bleed the people that do produce to try to keep themselves paid and expand. And I don't know if you ever saw a leech on a healthy body, but it'll swell up and it'll get all it can get out of it. And if you get enough of it, of course, it'll kill you. But government's no different than a leech. Illinoisans are overwhelmed by shadow mortgage of pension debts. Now, this is amazing. As Governor J.B. Pritzker and other lawmakers try to extract that kind of money from Illinoisans, they'll fail for the simple reason that the amounts have become overwhelming. Too many households don't have the means, while others won't stick around to pay for it. They'll just leave. And as Illinoisans leave, the shadow mortgage on those who remain will jump. The crisis will only deepen. A simple calculation based on Moody's state and local retirement debts put a shadow mortgage to each Illinoisan. Now, this is amazing. Each Illinoisan household is on the book for $90,000. That's what you get when you divide Illinois 4 and 24 billion in retirement debts by the state's 4.8 million households. But $90,000 is not a real number. Too many families in Illinois don't have the means to take on that kind of debt. So the real burden of households with the means to pay it is much higher. Now, it's not right to think of any household, I don't care if you make $200,000 a year or $20,000 a year, it's not right for the state to get in so deep that they have to come to you and say, we need $90,000 to bail us out. Melanie, that's not right. That's poor planning. That's thievery. That's all there is to it. But Chicagoans are buried under so much pension debt, it's impossible to see how their city can avoid a fiscal collapse without a major structure reform. The futility of paying down these debts becomes obvious when you try to figure out who's going to pay for it all. The total amount of city, county, and state retirement debt Chicagoans are on the book for is $150 billion based on Moody's most recent pension data. Split that evenly across the city's 1 million plus households, and you arrive at nearly $145,000 per household. That's an outrageous amount, but it would be a clean solution if each every Chicagoan household could simply absorb $145,000 in government retirement debt. But the problem is it can't. Most people in Chicago, the majority of people in Chicago, are on poverty level. How do they expect to balance a budget on people who have already given all they can give and more? Melanie, that's pure evil. That's evil.
It truly is. But you know what, Butch? The people accept it.
Well, they can't pay
it. And I don't know how to change that. I mean, I don't know either. what would change it, or how you could change it, or how we got here. But the people just go right along with it. We just do property taxes. We just let them tax it up. Oh, well, you know, we just no one says anything.
Well, it's going to come to a point sooner or later, though, that people can't pay it.
Nobody goes to the city council meetings. Nobody does this. There are no grassroots, meetings.
Yes.
To face your local governments to say, hey, you know, nobody knows what the budgets are. Nobody knows who's getting what, where it's going, and you know, but as far as the government workers that get that's involved in these pension plans and everything, hey, they love it. You know, they were promised certain things that they'll never get. They should be, they're the ones that should be outraged.
Well, you know, I mean, eventually, whether you attend the meetings or not, it's going to get to the point you can't pay it.
And that's the point where we're at. It's debt that can't be paid. No different than our federal government. It's debt that can't be paid.
We're so blessed here in West Virginia that our property rates are so low, but they are growing. Each year I see it growing a little bit, but it's growing. But in some states I know that their property rent, that's what it is. Here you're renting a property in the state. Their property taxes are as high as the house payments. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. When people can't afford to buy a house already, How are you going to buy a house and pay tax off it? No wonder so many people are renting now. They can't afford to pay the tax on the place. It's destroying the idea of private property, is it not?
Well, it has.
It has. And with all seriousness, there is no private property. You literally own nothing. As long as you pay your rent to the state for your house and for your car and other things, then you get the privilege of living in a home and paying the expenses, keep it up, and the car also. But you miss paying your rent to the state on any of those items, you're not going to drive your car. You're not going to be long in your house. So is that really free property, private property? Is that what was written in the Constitution? You know, pursuit of happiness, which means private property. It's not private property. We do not own our property, folks. It is not ours. It isn't ours.
No, and that's government.
It's government. That's what it is.
We live on government land.
We certainly do. We do.
Government store.
And it is not going to turn around. The American people are so ignorant that they really think that we're free people, that we are sovereign people, and we are doing so great. We can own nothing. You can travel. You cannot travel without permission. You can't do anything without permission from a license from some individual somewhere. You can't put a building in a lot of places on your property because you have to go through code first. Thank God it's not that way where I live, but there's a lot of places. You couldn't even put an outhouse up at your lawnmower in because you have to have code. You have to have approval. Folks, that's not being free. That's totally controlled. And then they tax you for that stuff on top of that. If they let you do it, they tax you for it. You add a room to your house, it increases your tax on your house. That's just the way it is. You own an RV, you pay tax on it. You own a dog,
government
you pay tax
suppresses.
On it.
Government
exactly
needs
right.
you suppressed.
That's all
they
it can
don't
do.
Want you getting ahead. They don't want you to benefit. They give you enough. They dish it out to you so you can go along with their little plan. But anyway, we're out of time. That was a really good program today, Butch. You got me all fired up. But
all right, good.
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless. If I got me a well-being